Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hi, it's Marcia Cook, and naturally our promo did not work, as it didn't work yesterday on the show, so it didn't work either. All right, so I will, it's Marcia Cook, and it's A Good Story is a Good Story with World of Ink Network, and we have a lot going on, a lot of different shows, and Virginia and I were on yesterday, and she's the partner with me on, she lives in Utah, and I'm in Chicago, and we have a lot of fun on our shows, and tomorrow I have a show with Brian Moreland. It's just Brian. And he's been on before. He's a horror thriller writer, and he's very interesting. He has a lot of marketing techniques. He has a lot of different stories to talk about. He's really good. So that's tomorrow at 9. No, wait, sorry, that's Thursday at 9. I just feel like I'm doing this every day. Okay. And that will be, that's coming on. And Willow Cross will be back soon on the network. And because during the summer, we've had a lot of people not on, and but I've been here, and Virginia's been here. And so we're not going to – tonight we have a really big show, so we have a lot of people on. So that's about all I'm going to talk about tonight. Join us whenever you can, and we're archived today. If you're live today, we're also going to be archived, and it stays – the links stay forever. I think all my 6 years are on, you know, still around. So, all right. Okay, and I'm going to introduce – Gina, who I talk to a lot on Facebook, and she's done a terrific job. She's got a lot of authors, and she's, you know, helped out so many people, and this time it's going to be a really fun show. We have a lot of people on, so I'm going to introduce Gina first. Hi, Gina.
Hi there. How are you?
How are you? Okay, now we have
I'm
a
not
huge
too bad.
Show tonight. Okay, and we have, you know, we're going to learn tonight like about shifters, because I think a lot of people don't get it too much, so everybody by the end of the show, we're all going to know how to, you know, what everything is about, because sometimes people really don't understand certain terms these days, and I think you're the perfect person to talk about it at first. Go ahead.
Oh, me? Oh, goodness.
Yeah. Well,
well,
it's
you know
night.
What, honestly, I'm not going to actually do a whole lot of explanation other than to say that we do have a box set called Alpha Shifter Seductions, and we have 11 authors. It was supposed to be 12, but unfortunately I wasn't able to get my own story in there. I was just too busy putting all
together. Yeah, see, that's what happens. See,
yeah, and I should know better, but you know me, I always take it on more than I can handle.
Yes,
that's just one of those things.
Well, we
I love it, and I would never, ever give it up. So
I know.
And I'm going to have each of our authors tonight to tell you a little bit about their story and their inclusion, and if we have enough time, we might even get into one of those hot little excerpts. I'm going
to
start
with... Could you explain
with
to people, before we go on, could you explain to people, a lot of people don't know what a shifter is?
Oh,
and what that
like
means.
Werewolves.
Yeah, because a lot of people
werewolves,
don't know.
Like shapeshifters.
Yes.
Half human, half animal. You change into an animal. I could talk to you more about the romance part of it.
Right. Well, you know, I mean, I think a lot of people will, you know, sometimes they see certain terms and they just don't get it. And I know that you put something out today. I actually, writing Sex Might Not Be Easy, you know.
Very aware of what you're writing and make sure that you're not crossing any boundaries between the shifters in shifted mode and human mode. So you've got to be very, very careful with what you're writing with the sex scenes and stuff like that. But
right, which we'll talk about a little later. Okay, so then,
yeah.
Because this is hard. It's not just something everybody can do.
Oh, heavens no.
Right.
It takes quite a bit of talent to write shifter stories, in my opinion.
And so that's why the people on can do this. So that's why
you
I want
betcha.
People to understand, right, it's not just for everybody, but it's good read, but it's hard to do. So I think people just think it comes, I know people think that about a lot of writing, it just comes out of us 1, 2, 3, but it doesn't. It takes work. It doesn't.
I wish.
I know. I know that, you know, because it doesn't come all at one time. And I think a lot of people get confused. They think, oh, you sit down one day and you write a story. Well, that's not true. It's a lot of hard work. So we're going to explain that first. Okay. Who did
I'm going to start with Kiki Howell
tonight.
Are you there, Kiki?
I'm here.
Can you tell us a little bit about your inclusion in Alpha Shifter Seductions?
Sure. Mine is called When the Snow Flies, and that's because my shifter is half human and half a snow white dragon. On the topic of shifters, I actually, as you guys were talking about being hard to write, I did research in a book where a lady does magic spells to go into other realms and talk to dragons. Now, that book is considered nonfiction, and however you believe, it was a great tool for research for my story. My story, a shifter that is a dragon is in love with a human, but she has had a tragic accident, and so he stays back and just watches her for a while. That's until he sees her one night. She's out in the woods. She's walking in a labyrinth and doing a meditation, and it catches the attention of a really bad dragon, and he has to protect her, but at the same time, he's now revealed himself to her as his mate. So that's my story.
And you've already pretty much answered how you got the inspiration on that there a little bit.
Oh, sorry.
If you wanted to elaborate. No, that's okay. It was just my next question.
No, that's okay. You know what? Yeah, because, you know, like sometimes we just want to make sure everybody gets, you know, to say it. So that's why sometimes if you don't go around twice, you know, well, at least you've said what you've said. And you've been a frequent guest, so you know. Right. So
Kiki's awesome. She knows the questions
great.
I'm going to ask. And I had to do a bunch of fun stuff earlier on this week, too. So the fact that she already pretty much guessed what I was going to ask. Yeah, that's pretty much typical for her. So I'm going to, I'll move on since she answered both of my first questions. And is Phoenix, can we hear you, Phoenix?
Yeah, I'm here.
Good. All right, you want to tell us a little bit about your inclusion?
Okay.
Trying to move this along quick.
That's okay.
Can you tell us a little bit about your inclusion in the box set, huh?
Mine is Kitsune's Raven. It's based in Japan, which a lot of people know I'm obsessed with Japan. It's a clan fight, really, between fox shifters and raven shifters. And it touches on Romeo and Juliet kind of flavors, but, well, it doesn't go quite as tragic. She's studying in Australia, but she's come home to Japan for a fireworks festival, and that's when she bumps into Karatsu, the raven shifter, except she doesn't know he's a raven shifter. And obviously when it comes out that he is, well, things aren't too smoothly, but yeah, this is just the first taste of it, and I've got a lot more plans for these two. They're going to get into a lot of trouble. I can promise you that. Lots of angst.
And I'm sorry, it's hard to catch all of that. Your inspiration again?
I am pretty obsessed with Japan.
Oh, right.
And, yeah, as soon as you mentioned about this box set that you were putting together, just for some reason, foxes jumped straight into my head because I love the word kitsune. Because obviously that's a fox. I absolutely love it. And the story just started to come together from there. Absolutely love it.
Yeah, I read that. I've read a few of these, and I tell you, I am just going, this is just such an amazing box set. I'm so blessed to be working with all these authors.
Maybe you wanted to say for 1 second, so people that are listening to the show, what a box set is and where they can get it, so we don't forget that, where they can.
Well, actually, if they want to go to the Facebook event page, all the links of where they can get it are listed, and it tells you all the stories that are included in it. So the name of the event on Facebook is Alpha Shifter Seductions, Authors on World of Ink, Blog Talk Radio. And,
okay. And they can get it. Amazon has it?
Oh, yeah. Amazon, everything,
and,
everywhere has it.
All Romans,
everywhere
right,
has
everybody.
It.
Right, okay.
You betcha. Of course.
Okay.
Of course. Yeah. So.
Right, because, you know, sometimes people, sometimes we take for granted what people know, and then they might not know. So, and the chat room is also open. I see it here on my, and I'm hoping that, and if, you know, the chat room is open, there's no questions, because I'm hoping people are, that sometimes the chat room the people aren't coming in the chat room. Sometimes they don't want to talk. So, but if you come in the chat room, you don't have to really say who you are. You can just ask a question if you want to. Okay.
Fair enough.
So they know.
Fair enough. Well, Boxset, as I said at the beginning, is a group of authors that have gone together to put generally like-minded stories, in this case shifters, and we went with the common trope of fated mates to bring these all together. And all in one, basically one big book, one box set. And it's ours, I think, is over 700 pages. It's a lot of really good reading.
Yeah, that's a lot. Yeah, that's a lot.
Oh, yeah. It's a lot of really, really good reading. Some amazing authors. We've had, oh, goodness, I can't even count them. Enormous amount of very positive reviews, 5-star, 4-star reviews. They're just coming in left, right, and center. I couldn't believe how fast they were coming in today. It was
That's just great, excellent
and amazing to see. I shouldn't have been surprised. I mean, not with these authors, you know. But, you know, hey, it's just great to see that the readers are really enjoying the stories, and we are working on more sets. Let me just say that right now.
Okay. Well, yeah, I mean, yeah, because it's successful, and it's, you know, it's actually a good thing because then, you know, it's more fun when you're all involved in a project sometimes. So that's a good thing.
Absolutely. It's been a challenge. There's been a lot of newbies to box sets, and training them and mentoring them in it has been kind of fun and kind of frustrating for all parties involved, I think. But it's been great. I think it's been a wonderful experience for all of them. I know it has for me. And we're definitely looking forward to doing some more of these. But I am going to move on to the show.
Okay.
Are you there?
I'm here.
So I think at this point you might know the two questions I was going to ask. So tell us a bit about your inclusion and what your inspiration for the story was.
Well, my story is called The Claiming. And basically The Claiming is it's like a ritual battle for the alpha position in this pack. And my hero, in order to join the battle, you know, he feels inside that he's destined to be the alpha, but in order to join the battle, you have to have a mate, because an alpha without a mate is just, you know, he's distracted and he's weak, and so he also has to battle for the love of this woman at the same time.
And if correct me if I'm wrong, but one has to do with him gaining the other. He must have his woman to become his mate, right?
Right, can't have one without the other, exactly.
Right, right. Excellent.
And
yeah,
my inspiration for the story, I really don't know where the inspiration came from. I just, I like there was something that, I was fascinated with the idea of a woman who's bitten one night and, you know, by what she thinks is just a normal wolf. And she finds herself, you know, going through all these changes. That story intrigued me, so.
Well, it was pretty intriguing to me, too. Let me just tell you that.
Oh, it happened just like that, right? 1, 2, 3.
Oh, no, it was they're just so good. They're so in-depth, and that's one thing I like, Marcia. I really like the in-depth of all these stories. They're not, you know, quick erotica stories, which are, of course, great, but they're very in-depth, and they have a lot of content to them, and just really, really good reading.
Well, I think that's one of the reasons I'm having the show, because sometimes people don't know how to, they don't try new things or read new things, you know, and, you know, sometimes it's very good to test yourself to see, you know, because these are different forms of writing than people are used to. And I think that people shy away when they probably shouldn't, you know. And
especially when it's cross-genre, because you've got erotic romance, you've got the paranormal, and then paranormal shifters in here. So you're really dealing with three different tropes here. It's kind of, it is hard to put them all together and to come up with something very successfully as these women have.
Yes, it's very creative. You have to be very creative, I think, to do this. I think you
agree.
It's a creative, more so than just regular writing.
You bet, it certainly is. Moving on, Kim, are you there, honey?
I am, yep.
Okay, hi.
Another question? Can you tell us a little bit about your inclusion and your inspiration?
Yeah, for sure. My inclusion in the box set is a story titled Savage. For those who don't read any of my work, I write rather dark books. So for me, Savage was basically about a young woman called Mia who is kept in a lab, which is pretty similar to a prison, and she needs to escape that lab. She's on the run, not just from the people who have held her captive, but also from the wolf inside of her. So my story is basically about a woman who's in transition and who really doesn't want to be. So, yeah, it's a rather dark, gripping story. And it's about these two men who find her and how they help her. So, yeah, it's very action-packed. And my inspiration for the story was basically a new series that I'm working on, which is called Underground Kings. I wanted a character that wasn't one of the main characters to basically give a lead in to that whole series and the whole feel of it. So Mia was my inspiration for that.
Very good. Again, another one I've read.
I have two other people on the line. I'm not gonna. I don't know yet. Who they are, but I'm not gonna let other people in. So if they're listening, it's fine. I'll let you in, later. But don't go anywhere. So just stay right where you are.
They're probably just preempting the fact. I told them to call in for 9:20, but
that's all right. Don't worry about it. I'd like to add one thing also about this group of people, because I'd like to add something about you. Okay, Gina is not easy. She just doesn't take anybody. you don't, okay, and you know that. So I'm saying that. So, and I think when people don't realize this, that how hard it is to get published, and they think, we'll go with, if it's not random. But you know what? You're very tough, and you run a good house there. You do. It's because it's not easy to stay in this business, as you've seen in the past year.
Especially when you have an excessively organized person on the end of it. And I am. I admit I am completely excessively organized, but I think it's been good for all these women. It really, really has.
And that's what makes you who you are, and that's what makes you sad, because this has been a tough year for a lot of authors. They've lost their houses, and, it's been tough. So, it's good that you're still here. I'm so glad about that.
I'm not going anywhere. I'm too stubborn to go anywhere. You should know that by now.
I do know that. I don't go anywhere either, I know.
No doubt.
You got to be tough to be here. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, certainly do. We've got L. Thorne next up.
Yes, ma'am.
Hi.
All righty. You know the drill by now, don't you? Come on.
Yes, I guess I have to pretend like I know what I'm doing here.
That's what we all do.
It's called Complication. And what it involves is a polar bear shifter called Malachi who works in a shifter Supreme Court. So just like the Supreme Court, but except made up with shifters. Now, it's all fine and dandy until this woman walks in that he had a one-night stand with, and she is a judge. So can't talk to her. He's been looking for her for years. The last time they saw each other, they were both going into the Middle East into battle, and he hasn't seen her. She's come back with a lot of baggage and a couple other things, and I cannot tell you more than that. You're going to ask me what my inspiration is.
No spoilers. You got to go out and buy the box sets. 99 cents. I mean, you really cannot go wrong for that.
Yeah, I know.
Dude,
you know, that's
you,
that's the thing
coffee.
That people don't get. You know, it's 99 cents. All of the work that goes into this, and it's for 99 cents. So you know,
11 full novella stories. Yeah. I mean, you really can't get that online anymore.
Yeah, not
I'm
really.
Inspiration.
And again, shout out to every one of the individual editors that worked with these ladies, too, because I am impressed. And again, as Marcia said, it takes a lot to impress me.
Yes,
these
it does.
Editors did an amazing job on these stories, and I couldn't say enough about them. I don't
That's
have
good.
Names for every single one of them
no,
at the moment.
No, but it's good to shout out to the editors, because without editors,
absolutely.
A lot of this is not possible. That's
well,
sure.
Without readers, you don't have writers wanting to write books. Without editors, well, those books would not be near the quality they are now.
Exactly.
That's for sure, for sure. And again, another shout out. I did it on the page just because we're running out of time here. Or down.
We don't. We're not. Don't worry about it. I have
no,
two
no,
hours.
No, not out. Not out. Down. My timeline. My timeline, girl.
Oh, okay. Oh, your timeline.
The Wolf Pack.
Okay.
The Wolf Pack. Okay. Without that entire group, this box set would not exist. All these ladies belong to the Wolf Pack, and the ladies that run it, Michelle Fox and Annie, and all of them, they're just amazing women. They hardworking, and that is probably the best go-to page if you ever want to know anything about shifters. And as I said on the event page, give them a like and show our appreciation for
That's
them
great.
Tonight.
Okay.
We're going to have Amy Burgess up next. Amy, do you want to tell us a bit about your inclusion and your inspiration for that story?
Sure, Gina. My story is called Love Like Wings, and it's about a woman who runs an antique shop. And she has a partner who is very hot and sexy, and she's very attracted to him, but she has baggage from being brought up by a mother who was always drawn by, you know, sexy guys who loved her and left her. And so she's determined that she won't be like her mom. And Sebastian is her partner, and he has a secret, and his secret is that he's a dragon shifter, and she is his mate. So she has to, at one point, he brings her an enchanted ring and brings her to his realm. And he has 72 hours to convince her that he is good for her and that they are fated mates. And his work is really cut out for him because Alexa is a very stubborn and prideful
woman.
Oh,
boy, was it ever. I finished this with last night. Oh. Stubborn. She reminded me so much of me.
My inspiration for writing it was I had this dream about this woman who knew this guy named Sebastian, but she called him Sebastard. And she was always yelling at him in the paper, oh, Sebastard, why did you do that? And I was like, what? That's a great nickname for a guy named Sebastian, but what's the story behind it? And I've always wanted to write about dragon shifters. And so I said, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to make him a dragon.
Well, and dragons are becoming very, very popular in the shifter world right now.
Yeah.
It's been werewolves and bears are right up there, and now the dragons seem
dragons,
to be coming
in. I know. I heard about that.
Oh, yeah. We've got a couple in this box set of the dragons, and it's just, yeah, it's really, really getting out there. Amy, do you happen to have an excerpt handy for us?
Yes,
we'd like
I
to
do.
Read?
Yes, I do.
Oh, this is like in school. See, this is like somebody gets called on. And they can't hide, right?
That's
no.
Right.
And there's explicit words in here, so forgive me. So
that's okay.
All right. Okay. I think I put this as adult content. If not, that's okay.
You
go
did.
Ahead. Go ahead. I did. Okay.
When the flames flickered out, a man replaced the dragon, a naked, extremely built man. He had his back to me, and I swear I went cross-eyed at the sheer perfection of his ass cheeks. Here I thought his face had been his best asset. Oh, my God. Is this better? I can see yours, so now you can also see mine. Sebastian pivoted, a graceful movement of heel, leg, and body like a dancer. From my vantage point on my back, braced by my elbows, I had a bird's-eye view of a magnificent but highly inappropriate erection. His cock rivaled his arrogance in the hugeness factor. Wow. When I was able to raise my gaze, I discovered him smirking at me, the bastard. What the hell did he think? I was made of stone? Shove a giant cock in my face and I'm what, supposed to overlook it? You pig, I sputtered. This is the worst nightmare of my entire life. His grin never faltered, although I thought I saw a flicker of hurt rush through his eyes. I know how to turn this nightmare into a dream come true, he said, and took himself in one hand better to show me how perfect he was. I threw a fistful of sand at him, and it showered around his feet. That you can say that with a straight face proves what a giant asshole you are, I said. Alexa, you aren't even trying. Relax. Even in your dreams, which this is not one, you're uptight, he said. The day you let your guard down will be the best day of your life. And you think you'll be there to reap the rewards? I debated throwing another fistful of sand. Hopefully, he said, taking a step closer to me. I scrambled backward on the sand, feeling like a fucking crab. If only I had big claws. The first thing I'd do would be pinch his goddamn cock until he screamed, the bastard. Now who's dreaming, I asked. Will you please put some clothes on? No, he said with such audacious disregard for my feelings, I wanted to sock him. He took two more steps toward me, then threw himself beside me, leaning on one elbow, his face so close to mine I could have kissed him. Which apparently was the idea, judging by the smoky lust in his eyes. Now that he was human again, it wasn't so easy to figure out his motivations and emotions, but it was impossible to ignore the hard press of his erection against my thigh. This is a dream. Why not give in to your fantasies about me? He leaned close to whisper in my ear, nibbling on the lobe. Electric desire tingled through my body. The touch of his lips set off a galvanic reaction inside me. I was powerless to resist, although I tried. The only fantasy I have about you right now is waking up to discover that this was all a horrid nightmare, I told him. But when his lips drilled across my jaw, I didn't pull away. I remembered my thoughts about giving in. Maybe the only way to get this dream over with was to let him have his way with me. I took a deep breath at the thought. I'd had many erotic dreams featuring Sebastian Black in the starring role, but this dream was by far the most vivid and real. Therefore, it stood to reason, the sex would be mind-blowing. Why not give in, Alexa, I thought to myself. Live a little. I turned my head to face him, and our mouths met. Simple yet devastating. Sebastard, I cursed him even as I kissed him. You want this, he told me, his lips hot against mine, almost as much as I do.
And we're never going to, anybody that knows anybody with Sebastian, you're not going to look at them the same way anymore.
And kudos to you, Amy, for reading that, because, man, some of those I don't know if I could have said them out loud. It was awesome.
I had some wine, so I'm okay.
I think she liked it.
Oh, I think she did. She was popping up earlier, so I really didn't put her on the spot. She's like, pick me, I'll read them. That's too funny. I know it's the second half. I need to pick somebody.
Do we have everybody from the first half of the show?
So we I'm do. Just, we have everybody we in do. From the first
okay.
half. I think.
All right, I'm going to leave them. You want me to leave? I'm going to. Should I bring the other people on because they're here? So.
Well,
are you
I was
ready?
Going to say, bring him in and
okay.
let them
let's
all say
see.
Hi, and then perhaps
right,
the first
see who
half
everybody
can
is.
Say bye-bye.
Right, let's
and
see
can
if I don't get any surprises push. Here. Okay, wait a minute. Let's see who's here. Hi, it's Marcia. Who's this?
This is DJ.
Oh, okay.
Hi, DJ Shaw.
Yes.
Okay, good. Okay, hi. We just made sure, man. Okay. All right. Let's see who else we're bringing in here. Hi, it's Marcia and Gina. Hello? Hi.
Who we got?
I think it's it.
This is Angelica?
Yeah, I thought so.
Hi, Angelica.
Voice. Okay, hi.
Other Canadian. We should recognize
all right.
each other, right?
Okay, let's see who else I'm bringing in here. Hi, it's Marcia and Gina and everybody else. Hi, who's this? Who is it? Hello?
Hi.
Who is it?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah,
we can
sure.
hear
who
you.
Is it?
Who we got?
Hey, this is Fiona.
Okay,
hi,
good.
Fiona.
Okay. You know, I'm always doing it because, you know, sometimes we have, you know, people that just come in. So I
yeah.
guess I'm doing it so slowly here. Let's see. I will mute them if they're... Okay.
We're
hi.
Looking for Bethany Shaw and Melissa Bell. So.
Okay. Okay. Hi. It's Marcia, Gina. Hello?
Who have we got?
Hello?
Hello?
I'm going to guess
hello?
That's Melissa.
Oh, hi. Who is this?
Trying to figure out who's actually talking to who.
It's going to be Melissa.
Okay. Melissa, is that you?
It is.
Okay.
I had a feeling. Just by the accent.
Right, yeah, one more so here. Really... That's here right now. Okay, let's see who this is.
Bethany
hi, it's Shaw Marcia.
Is the last one.
Okay.
So this is Bethany.
Okay. Hi, Bethany.
Hi.
Do we have everybody?
This box set. Yes,
yay.
We do.
Okay. All right.
Okay. Oh, my goodness.
I know. This is exciting. All right, Gina, go.
I'm on the phone.
Well, I don't know. Can we all, do
yes,
you want to
yes,
say bye to
have
the first half?
Yes, to... yes, unless they get, you know, so far I'm looking at the screen, it's fine. So, you know, they can
yeah,
all
but
stay
I'm thinking, on. I'm thinking, especially for Phoenix and Cam, long-distance charges and
yeah,
and
if they don't
like want to
be on, they can go off. Right, if they don't want to be on, they can. Does anybody want to leave? They can, because, and you could say goodbye to everybody. Anybody want to go?
Yes,
okay.
I'm thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. Okay. Was that Phoenix that just left, I think?
I think that was Kim.
Oh, Kim? Okay.
I think it was
I'm
Kim.
Got
Kim's voice.
Okay. All right, and, you know, we're not going to be mad at anybody for leaving, so, okay, we're going to go on with the next half, right? Okay. Okay.
Yeah, it was just because they're calling in from Australia overseas.
Yeah,
just,
I know. That's why I'm so
you know
happy
me,
we got around. Last time it was a disaster. You know, this time is really good. All right, so hi, everybody. Okay, Gina will be in charge here. Go ahead, Gina.
All right. Well, I gave you Girls of the West earlier on, so I'm going to start at the top of the list again. Okay. And if you've been listening to the previous part of the show, you probably know the questions, but I'll ask them anyway. Bethany Shaw, can you tell us a little bit about your inclusion and your inspiration for the story?
Sure, yeah.
Thanks.
When I actually wrote Claiming His Mate a while ago, and it was based on originally kind of two fictional characters that I had liked in a TV show, and then they kind of turned into their own characters, just kind of morphed into their own. But it's Eric and Lexi. He's a werewolf and she's a human, and she doesn't know it. But werewolves should only be with werewolves, according to his pack. So his family has actually made them break up, and he's been gone for 3 years. And during that 3-year time, Lexi has moved on and gotten married to a friend of hers. And when he comes back, he finds out that she's married and that she has a kid, and he's not too happy about that, because even if it's not supposed to happen, she is his mate, and he is sure of it, and he wants her back. And once he learns that the kid might actually be his, Seth, he's even more determined to find out what's going on and make her his and get his family.
Very cool. And your inspiration again?
It was, I wrote it a while ago, and it was originally just an idea that I had. I kind of have a thing for forbidden romances and for babies and all that stuff, so it was kind of...
Yeah, I remember now, sorry. I was thinking, well, none of these books have been previously published. They're all brand new to these
right,
authors
yeah.
new stories, in this
right,
set.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking, she said she wrote it a while ago. Wait a second.
Yeah.
It would have been a while ago, probably,
yeah.
but
yeah,
then sitting on the shelf like a lot of us have.
I think it was one of the first things I actually wrote, and then it was just kind of sat there and...
Right,
when
it's like waiting in the wings for a home,
like,
right.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, when I got offered for the Spock set, I was like, oh, I have something that I can use, so.
And then everybody furiously goes and updates all these old files.
Yeah.
So much. Yeah. I'm currently trying to keep up with mine, and it's just, yeah, are you kidding?
Updating is difficult a little sometimes because, you know, just things change so much. So
yeah,
exactly.
Well, even your writing
yeah.
styles, as the group was discussing
yeah.
earlier, just I can go 10 years ago from what I wrote then compared to what
yeah.
I wrote now, right now, and oh my goodness, the changes are just they're astronomical. They're the
yeah.
differences. I
yeah.
look at my old work and go, I wrote that gross.
Yeah. Who wrote this? Who wrote this?
Yeah.
But yeah, we change even though we think we don't. We do change in
oh,
our
yeah.
writing styles, I think.
Well, you do. You have to evolve. If
yeah,
you stop
yeah.
evolving, you're going to stop writing. You just,
yeah.
You'll stop selling. Everybody's, you know, it's a learning process, and you just the more you do, the more you'll learn. Again, we had several new two Bark Sets women in this group, authors in this group, and I can honestly say they've all learned a lot on how to market mm-hmm. themselves in different ways and how much fun it could be as well as how much work it is.
It's
and,
a lot of work.
But
and it
yeah,
is fun.
But
you know,
the
it is fun.
Is, we work
it is fun sometimes
so well
for people.
As a team.
Yeah. yeah.
The team effort
thing.
Is what has made this whole thing perfect. Like it just, yeah. you know what, everybody's got everybody else's back. And I guess that's the wolf pack mentality, right? You know, you're always there for your pack, so.
Well, I
yeah.
think there's
moving
a lot
on.
Of groups that do, like a lot of the groups that do the anthologies and things together, they all
yeah.
say the same thing. They were once they were all together, they were all happy they did this. Very
yeah.
happy.
Yeah. Oh, well, you know me, I've done several of these box sets and anthologies together, and that's what they said every single time, is they just, it's been a wonderful experience. It's totally different than working on your own. Sure, you're writing your own story and everything, but when you've got everybody else promoting for
right.
you and
yeah.
marketing and everything, everybody working together, and organized timelines. It's just so different compared to individual writing.
I should ask you
writing.
A question because for people are listening.
Sure.
Are you taking new authors?
We are.
Okay.
We currently have just reopened our submissions. 90 Nights Press.blogspot.com submissions, and it's right there's a tab at the top. Looking primarily right now for paranormal and fantasy. Don't recall what else is on there at the moment, but those are the two primaries. So we're definitely getting right back into paranormal again.
Yeah,
we're
looking for fantasy too, because fantasy is a good thing. Fantasy because a lot of people don't know what to do with the fantasy that they want to write.
The two genres tend to cross a lot.
Yeah.
These stories could be, could fit into. Well, we've got them fitting into folklore as well, just with the type of stories. The second one in there, I can't remember whose it was. I think it was Amy's. Or no, it wasn't Amy's. Sorry, I can't remember what order the book and box set went in, but the second story in it, maybe it was Lachelle's, had a lot of folklore in it and everything else, mythology, and I was just like, and then Phoenix is based on a lot of mythology and stuff too, so like that just really, really fit. There's so many crosses, there really, really is. I'm going to move on to Fiona.
Okay.
Can you tell us, Fiona, a little bit about your inclusion in the box set and your inspiration for your story?
My story is called Unbroken. And it's about the return of the lost king of the Pegasi to the world. It's set in an alternate present day where without fighter jets and 747s, because I figured my inner 10-year-old has never gotten over Pegasus, and I just want them to be real. So these winged horse shifters are real. The lost king of the Pegasi returns, of course, with the aid of a fabulous woman who is cast away from shipwreck, and discovers she's trapped on this island with the king of the Pegasi and his mortal enemy.
And your inspiration?
I had written a proposal for a novel in a workshop a couple of years ago, and a friend of mine asked me last spring what I had done with it, and it was just sitting in a filing cabinet, and we started talking about it, and she was saying, what if they were shifters? And just the light bulb went on, and I thought, flying horse shifters, that would be too much fun. So,
oh, now there's timing, eh?
Yeah. It's,
perfection.
Yeah, I want to write more of these. It's been a lot of fun.
It has.
And working with Gina has been an education. She's awesome.
It's good that you are helping people and giving them an education because we don't know everything. So that's a good thing,
True.
I think authors need to learn.
I still have that same issue with taking a compliment. I still don't believe them. I think they're all crazy.
Well, they wouldn't be with you if they didn't like
true.
You.
That's true. I'm just me. I guess, I don't know, I'm very down to earth, but I am straightforward and I tell it like it is, and if you screwed up, I'll tell you screwed up, and we'll fix it. That's what we got to do, right?
Well, that's a good thing about writing. You can fix it.
That's true. Not like talking on the radio when I screw up. I can't fix that.
Well, I know. Maybe we'll move on.
Yeah, exactly. Melissa, you there, dear?
Yes, I am.
Hi.
Would you like to tell us a bit about your inclusion in the story, or in the box set, and your inspiration for your story?
Okay, my story is about Niu Yong. Niu Yong was a character that I introduced in my series. It's called Five Brothers. I had a lot of my fans turn around and say, are you going to do a story about him? And when Gina asked me if I had something or that I'd like to do something for this box set, I went, perfect. This is just perfect. So I wrote Niu Yong specifically for this box set so that my fans would be able to hear his story. It's based on his name's Niu Yong. He's Asian. The Asian legend of the fox is the introduction into the book as to how he finds out he's actually a tiger. And he swears blind he will never take a mate. His family history will die with him until a beautiful lioness shifter moves in next door, and from there it just basically forms. So that's the guidelines of where I developed the characters from. The Lioness is going to be the platform for a new Shifter series that I'll be bringing out next year. So Gina allowed me to have the platform.
Sorry? We might have to put some of that. We might need to put some of that into another one of these box sets, eh?
Maybe. So I've had a lot of people say, oh, is this going to be a series? It's like it is in an introduction into a new series. So I'm going to call that Pride. And so it's kind of like a crossover between two series.
That's always good. We've actually had a number of book ones and in this particular box set, so the start of several series, Phoenix.
I think readers like that. Readers love that.
Yeah, well, and it's great. It's a wonderful way for the authors to kick it off nicely and start these new series off, and then crossing them over like Melissa's done here is just, that's a hard thing to do too, really, crossing over two different series.
Yeah, it depends. Also in the process of doing another series that will be crossing over as well, so it just seems to be my thing.
You just like a group of people all at once, don't you?
Yeah.
Shifters, rather.
I go with what my fans want.
That's true. And the Shifters are still pretty hot out there, as far as I can tell. I mean, it kind of comes and goes, and peaks and valleys, but it comes back around every time. That and vampires, and it's just no matter what, they're always amazing.
It's always popular. They're very popular. It's just that's the way it is now. It's not going anywhere.
No, I don't think so. I've had somebody come to me and Gina, is this gonna go off, or you know, am I still writing stories into 2016 and is it gonna die off? I'm like, No. It's not going anywhere. I know
I can see
the peaks and valleys. I've done my market research.
Yeah.
And it definitely goes down. It always goes down. But it always comes back around every single time. We've done
like
this for 15 years. Well, this is it. We've done it for, 15, 16 years that I've been in the business, Marcia. So, you know, it does not stop. So, DJ,
things change a little, but basically if it's a good story, they'll read it.
Absolutely.
That's why the name of the show, I always have a good, because my manager told me this years ago, a good story is a good story, so you can't, that's what I use for the title of, you know, my show, only because it's true. That prevails over everything.
Certainly does. Certainly does. DJ, are you there, dear?
I sure am.
Would you tell us the same questions I asked everybody else?
a little bit about my story's about. Mine's actually about a changeling who survives. If you know fae lore, you know that they don't usually survive in the human world, but this particular one did. And the shifter that's in it is actually a hellhound. And they are destined to be together, but my hellhound shifter doesn't believe in the mate thing at all. He's like, no, this is BS. There's no way this can happen. We tell our pups this as fairy tales, whatever, whatever. But then he finds out when he meets Peyton that that's not true at all. She's actually his mate. And it's a great big adventure. She's trying to find her family and all that fun stuff, trying to figure out who she really is. And Basil has his own journey that he's going on. He's trying to return back to hell. He'd been banished for 50 years for screwing up, letting a soul leave and all that fun stuff. So they're kind of, you know, pushed together by Lucifer. Yeah, it's kind of action-packed. There's, you know, there's the sexy scenes and stuff, but I'm kind of a fade-to-black type writer when it comes to the sex scenes, so there's not a whole lot of hotness, I would say.
Yeah, but you have your other kind of action in there, and you know what? As long as there's a little bit, that's all that matters. It doesn't have to be super steamy, like, you know, right off the page every single time. As long as there's some action in there, we're doing good. Right, yeah.
Cool. And my inspiration was... Go ahead.
No, that's what I was going to ask.
Oh, yeah. My inspiration on it was that there's not a whole lot of, I haven't found a whole lot of changeling stories or even hellhound stories where the hellhound is anything more than, well, a hound.
Exactly.
So I wanted to do something different. And it just kind of, when I was outlined, I'm a pantser typewriter. I write by the seat of my pants. There is no outline. But when I was when Gina had approached me to do the box set, I was thinking, well, do I have anything that's a shifter? No, I really don't. Okay, let's see. What can I do? And it just kind of like, I actually had originally wanted to tell it from Basil's point of view, but for whatever reason, Peyton was a bit more stronger, so it came from her point of view. But I'm actually really happy about how it turned out.
So right, in this case, sometimes you wonder how it does turn out, because I don't use outlines either, but some way or other it does seem to work out, and you go like, gee, this worked out. You know, and
exactly.
A lot of people don't write with outlines.
Most of the ones I work with don't. you start off with your own, like, it's a mental outline. And, you just kind of go from what your muse takes you, wherever it takes you, and you go with it, and they end up wonderful that way. DJ's story ended up with a little bit more of an alpha female than an alpha male in it. Not saying that the male wasn't alpha at all. He was just... she was a stronger woman, and, well, we all know what that's like. He gave me.
Yeah.
Most of those stories are based on alpha males, but there's been a couple in and out through there that have quite strong females, which is always nice, too. One thing I've read from readers is having weak-minded women is not necessarily what they want. Sure, they want their alpha men, and they want them hot and built and...
Yeah.
You know, strong, but they don't want women that are, you know, passive and weak-minded and, oh, yeah, okay, you know. So
yeah,
that's a good thing.
I
don't think I can write my women weak-minded.
No.
I don't think it's possible for me to write a weak woman.
No, I don't.
Yeah,
think
I think it's
either.
Good when
just,
you. I think a lot of female authors do this. We don't like to do women that are, you know, because that's not what we want to have in our books. You know,
we don't want to be that in real life, so why would we want
that's
it?
Right.
Exactly.
Exactly. No, that's
exactly.
True. Exactly.
Exactly.
Right, well, we have more left, I think. And
yeah, we
Angelica.
Do. We have Angelica Dawson, my fellow Canadian up there.
Yeah, speaking of weak females, that's what I have in my book.
No, I disagree.
She,
I disagree.
She's got
not
really,
completely.
Really low self-esteem.
Yes, but that's not necessarily weak. We have to
establish
that.
No. No, because low self-esteem
is kind
probably
of a pushover,
what she grew up with.
Right.
Probably what they
in
grow
the
up with.
Yeah.
Abused women are actually stronger than they give themselves credit for. Or
they are.
Because
right, exactly.
They stay in a situation.
Yeah.
So I don't think that your character, when I read it, I did not find her weak in the slightest. Yes, she's submissive. Yes, she's hard done, but she's not weak.
Right.
If anything, kind of the opposite.
Yeah.
Anyway, go on. Sorry, honey.
No, that's all right. You'd mentioned earlier in the show that you hear compliments and you don't always hear them as compliments, and I know I fall into that group as well. And Zoe is just like the pinnacle of that. She just cannot believe that anybody would think she's beautiful. And so when Link comes along and he's not only, you know, good looking, he's great looking, and he's got tons of friends, and he's pretty much everything she could dream of, and he's actually interested in her, she just, it doesn't process. So she's still clinging to the jerk that she's been with because she's scared that she'll end up with nothing.
Yeah.
And your inspiration on the story, hon?
A lot of self-reflection in the story. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think, you know, it, like what you're saying, it is hard for people to promote themselves and to come out and say all these things sometimes because about themselves. It's a very difficult thing, you know. And sometimes when I did a few audiobooks, and when I'm listening to the children's audiobooks, I'm going like, who wrote that? You know, because I like look at it and go, this is not bad. You know, then because, you know, we don't always think everything we do is so perfect, you know, which keeps us writing better and better. But the thing is, when we hear things or, you know, it really happens to a lot of people, I think, when they're writing.
It gives
they're
you
just
pause.
Not sure.
You just kind of go, what? Are you?
And what was I thinking at that moment when I wrote it? Yeah.
It's very difficult to take a compliment.
I think
and
so.
I'll tell you, Marcia, when we were doing this, I swear there's not an author in the bunch that didn't go, oh, what I wrote was crap. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
You know, and you can see the
well, that's usually the best
really
writers.
Felt that.
Right. because when I was an agent, you know, literary agent, I still am, but I mean, I don't have clients right now. But the thing is, they would, when they tell me how wonderful they are, I knew this is a problem.
Exactly. And
good authors
exactly
do not
what
say
I
they're
said.
Wonderful.
I said if you didn't tell me that you thought your story,
yeah.
story sucked, that's yeah. when I would worry about it.
Yeah.
The ones that are, you know, overconfident, and
yeah.
I've always found that they end up being a bit of a problem, or, you
yeah.
know,
yeah.
they're harder to
you're
work
right.
with. And I'm not
true.
Saying that they're not good writers. They're just harder to work with, and they don't want to take editing
right.
critique. And
you have to learn to take
make,
rejection.
Say,
and this is part of the deal as writers.
Yeah.
You have to take rejection, and you do. And you have to take, you know, you have to take what people say. I mean, sometimes you don't always want to take it, but sometimes when you really think back and you say, like, maybe I was wrong. You know, it wasn't the best thing. I mean, I think there's nothing wrong with that. You know,
well, it's like
you get
it's
better.
Like reviews, right? They can
yes.
get they
oh.
can get pretty bad, and
oh, yeah.
you know, it's been up and down. We've all had them, but sometimes you'll get that one review, and you kind of smack yourself in the head and go, "Oh, geez, I didn't even think of that." And
next time
you take that critique to heart, you use that, you write a better story because you know what? You listened to your readers, and you appreciated their comments and their critique on your work instead of getting all up in arms and going, you know, whatever. We've had a lot of drama over the years where some authors have gone and read the reviews and gone, blah, you know, mouthed off and stuff. And I totally discourage that. I suggest that the authors don't read the reviews. And if they're going to read them, like everyone.
Yeah.
I don't care if you just go on Amazon and like it. You like it. You listen to it. There's a reason. People don't go out, readers don't go out and say stuff just for the purpose of being nasty. Sure, we've got some trolls. That happens in every business. But
you know, reviews,
majority,
right. And, you know, the review thing is very difficult these days because there are some people that really don't read the books that give the reviews, and that's pretty bad. But it's unfortunate. So that's why new writers, they have to realize that there are people out there that do that, and it's really, it's not a good thing, but that's what happens.
Well, you know what's really funny, Marcia, is the as well, I called them a moment ago, is trolls, the one-star reviewers.
Yeah.
It's hilarious because, honest to God, they're trying to put that book down, and yet every time a book gets a one-star review, I want to go see why they tried to one review it. What was so bad in that book that
it's
you
like
thought
a movie.
It deserved
the same thing,
review?
Right? When they get bad reviews,
heck
I still go see it.
It encourages me to go and buy that book because you may think you're trying to put it down. Clearly, there's something you're jealous about, to be honest.
Yeah.
And you're one-star reviewing, and you can't have enough confidence in your own stuff. You got to go one-star somebody else's. That just seems silly to me. Like, really? Yeah, no. Anyway, I'm going to ask Angelica. I told you, I warned you all I was going to pick somebody. Girl, you get to read yours.
Okay.
I've heard you read before, and I know you can. I know you can.
She can.
Do this. I know.
Yes, she can.
Link stood outside her door and looked over her face, focusing on her lips. "Come inside," she asked. "Better not. You are still with." His words were broken and strained. "Not for long," she said. "I might need someone to stand by me when I do. I'm really worried he'll do something violent. It'd be nice to know I have someone when he's gone." Link seized her, pulling her curves against him. The stirring that had started with thoughts of kissing her hardened. He was sure she would notice, but he didn't care. He kissed her fiercely with fire, and she was gasping when he moved to her throat, feeling her through her jacket and under it to the back of her pants. Her rear was round like so much of her and soft. His fingers seemed to dig right in. The zipper of her jacket eased open as he kissed down toward her breasts, bound within the fabric. "Please come in," she begged. "I shouldn't. I won't be able to stop." "I don't want you to." Growling again, he reached past her to open the door. Locked. "Got it," she said, pulling keys from her pocket and bolted in and down the stairs, leaving Link on the landing confused. She returned without her jacket and put her foot on the bottom step. Link jumped down four stairs at a time, nearly knocking her over. With a firm hand in the middle of her back, he walked her to the nearest door. She reached behind to fumble the handle. Her room reminded him of the forest. the faltering green replaced with red and orange as the sun set. "I told you I would devour you," he warned. She trembled and sat on the edge of the bed as though her legs wouldn't hold her up. "You done with him?" Zoe nodded. "Yes. Next time I see him, I'll tell him so. If I say it enough, maybe he'll take the hint." "Please," she drew a deep breath and swallowed. "Please don't leave me alone again. I don't want to be alone. I'll be your bitch, your fuck butt." He clamped a hand over her mouth. "None of those. I won't leave until you ask me." He leaned back as tears welled in her eyes. She hugged him close. "Thank you." The softness renewed the urgency in his pants, but that wasn't going to happen. Not today. Today was about her. He kissed her neck again, easing her shirt up. She pulled it off and reached for his. Link grabbed her fingers to stop her. "Not yet. I don't want to wait." The desperation in her voice hurt, lashing at his heart. "You won't," he assured her, touching her fly but not opening it. She obliged, pulling down her pants, and while he kissed the slopes of her breast, his nose snuck in between just over her bra, and he inhaled deeply, memorizing her scent. "Oh, God, Link." He growled a bit at the way she said his name. It made him even hungrier for her. He continued to work his way down over her belly to the cotton of her panties. He could smell her through them, and he sucked the fabric into his mouth. "No," she said, her hands blocking him. "No?" he asked, standing up to look at her eyes. "What then?" "I've never," she rubbed herself. "You've never been?" "No one has ever put their face," she stopped talking, turning red. "Oh, Zoe," he said, almost laughing, "you've never had oral sex?" "I've given. I mean, Elliot likes it when..." "No," he growled and the rage back. "Not him. Never him." He regretted his reaction as she slid up the bed, cowering. "I'm sorry, Zoe." He moved to sit behind her, both their backs against the wall. He wrapped an arm around her shoulder, and she relaxed, leaning into him. "Zoe, he..." Link would never be able to say his name again. "Shouldn't have expected something he didn't return." Her eyes were moist, and she covered her face. "No one wants to see my fat, hairy..." Link twisted to pull her hands down. "I do. Fuck, I want to, Zoe. I want to see it. I want to touch it. I want to..." "Please?" he asked, feeling like a jerk. She was so vulnerable, and he was taking advantage. His mother would kill him if he knew. He groaned and slid to get off the bed. "I'm sorry," he muttered. "You don't want to?" she asked. He turned to see that she'd brought her knees up to her chest and slid the panties out from under her. "I shouldn't," he said, closing his eyes and fighting his body. "Mine had to be stronger, didn't it?" "Okay," she said, her voice quiet. The mattress shifted, and he opened his eyes to see her head on her pillow, tears falling. He stretched out beside her, his hands stroking her back. Her hands were between them, and she slid one down. "You're still hard," she said. "Yes, but that's not important. You are important. I don't want to fuck up and hurt you or make you think I'm only here for sex." "I don't think that," she said. She plucked his collar, pulling him closer. "Zoe, I won't. Don't." She pressed herself against him, working open his fly. He grabbed her hand to stop her, then slid down. "If you've never been," he trailed off, his fingers opening her furry lips to reveal the bright red skin between. It shone with moisture, glistening. He wanted to be gentle, to tease her open, but his mouth latched on, his tongue licking up. She filled his mouth and nose, her thighs pressing in and burying him for a moment. He pushed one of her knees and both fell away, letting him hear and see her clearly.
Phew!
Okay, well, we know that you can write sex scenes. We definitely
oh,
will.
Oh, yes, I love Angelica's scenes.
I've heard that, I know.
I truly, truly do. Her Blue Moon House series, which is we're giving away book 5 of tonight, is just fantabulous. It's hot. Mm-hmm. It's high heat level here, people. We're talking BDSM, vampires, just yummy. That was actually one of my first, my introduction to Angelica as an author, and she's just gotten better every single book. Rather than being sequels to the original Blue Moon House, these are prequels. So rather than going forward, she's actually going back in time with this series. So, and telling each character's how they got into the
backstory,
Blue Moon House.
The backstory, yeah.
Yeah. Looks like we did really good time in there, Marcia.
Yes, you got everybody in. This is really
we
good.
Did.
And, you know, everybody on here, I'll tell you something. This is, you know, I didn't know that much about this. I really, you know, we talk about this a lot on our shows, and I learn always when I'm having a show. But I think that, you know, everybody here seems like they're very happy what they did because they were happy with the subject matter that they had and that it worked well for them.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that sounds good.
It certainly did. Well, thank you all very much, ladies. Appreciate you being able to come out tonight.
Does anybody have anything that they want to add, or do you want to, you know, anybody have anything that they
all
might want to add?
All their links are going to be on the page. We're doing giveaways
okay.
on the event page
good.
After the show, and
oh,
I hope
good.
Everybody
okay,
was listening because we've got some really, really awesome giveaways to do.
Where can they find the show?
Right
everybody?
On Facebook. Again, it's
okay.
the Alpha Shifters Seductions Authors
right.
on the World of Ink Blog Talk Radio Show on Facebook. It's an event.
And I think people. You know, I don't know how many people are attending there. We do have a lot of archive listeners. It's difficult for people to share, so you can't tell anymore. I don't know if it's Facebook or what, but people are
yeah.
usually in when they see things, and they don't want to. You know, sometimes they don't share because they don't. You know, they just want to see it, and then they don't share it, though. That's
well,
what's happening.
Well, can I interject for just 30
yeah.
seconds? Aside
yes.
from these giveaways here today, we always have the Wolfpack page. You can't forget
okay.
that one. That's on Facebook 24/7, and there is a ton of authors always doing giveaways and new releases of the most amazing, amazing books.
So it's,
amazing
it's called Wolfpack?
Paranormal. The Wolfpack. You're gonna remember it. There's no way you'll forget
okay.
it on Facebook, and it's the page, and you'll see, you'll know.
Okay.
You won't forget.
Right.
I promise.
No,
so
I'm not
show,
gonna forget any of this. I don't forget.
No, I know you won't.
I do.
After the show, 2 weeks from now, you could share this archive and the Wolfpack.
Yeah, all these links are shareable, right? And they go. You can put them anywhere. We're fine with that. And sometimes it's not available for a few minutes after the show. And it's always on worldofinknetwork.com, and because we keep all of them on the player, and Blog Talk Radio keeps all of them. So, you know, and you can put them on your websites, because I think that works good on websites, because then people can hear about what you've done, and, you know, so that works really well, the links. So we're
yes,
happy that you know to do that after all these years. All right, so is that it? We did everybody. Just everybody got in. I'm so happy.
On behalf of all the authors of Alpha Shifter Seductions, Marcia, thank you so very much for having
thank
us tonight.
Thank you so much.
It was
thank you.
Great.
Good luck to everybody. And, you know, we will have another show again soon.
Thanks.
Bye.
Take
care.
Good
night, everybody. Thank you all.
Good night.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.